The Old Testament reading is from Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 5. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful to even speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father, and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he will also live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not as the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that the disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. But some of you do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning those who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One of the greatest, in my opinion, one of the greatest innovations man has ever done to an existing institution or invention is the all-you-can-eat buffet. I personally think it's one of the greatest things that was ever created. You know why? Well, first of all, I'm a big fan of the Chinese food ones. Love them. And I'll tell you why. First of all, I get to see the food before I eat it. All right? You never know what they're going to bring you if it's a regular sit-down restaurant. This way I get to see it first. I get to decide if I want to eat my dessert first or if I want to eat the main course. I get to decide how much the proportion size are. You know, I can have the whole plate of one thing if I want and go up again and again. And if I want extra dessert, that's okay. They don't mind. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. And the overall theme is feeding on the bread of life. We're going to talk about a lot about eating, so I know where all of you are going to head afterwards is somewhere to get food, because I'm going to talk about food much during this message. When the Israelites had traveled in the wilderness, God provided them daily with manna. Wafers of bread that tasted a bit like they had honey in it. And it rained down from heaven on a daily basis. There's other things in Scripture that talks about tasting like honey. Ezekiel's given a scroll to eat. Boy, doesn't that sound delicious? But it said, it's written in the Bible that it tasted like honey. The psalmist says that manna is angels' food. And every day the right amount came for the people. There was no lack of manna at all. In God's word, there's always enough for everyone. Manna certainly does not look like gourmet cooking, but God's word doesn't look that spectacular sometimes on the surface of it, but it has unseen powers that sometimes we ignore. You know, if you only find one thought or fresh idea, pick it up. Put it into your soul. You're going to then find out your spiritual hunger will be satiated and your strength renewed. When the children of Israel had to get the manna, it was on the ground. So they either had to stoop down or get down on their knees to gather it. That's how our Heavenly Father wants us to gather His heavenly food. Either on our knees or in humility. Before the manna appeared, it said in the Bible that there was a heavy dew upon the grass. That heavy dew represents the Holy Spirit who anoints the Word. There's an old preacher once said, if you have the Spirit without the Word, you blow up. If you have the Word without the Spirit, you dry up. And if you have the Spirit and the Word, you grow up. Well, first of all, you have to have an appetite. Imagine if you were invited out to eat at somebody's house, and before you left, you had a Coke, a couple bags of chips, some Oreo cookies, and a piece of cake. How much of an appetite do you think you'd have by the time you got to your friend's house? Unless you're a teenage boy. They're vacuum cleaners. There's something just not human about them. Ben's not here, so I can say that. They're not human. You cannot eat that much food and stay that thin. It's just wrong. Anyway, that's beside the point. You have to have an appetite. St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. Only God's word and His presence can satisfy the hunger that we have within us. And too many Christians live on spiritual junk food. You know, every day we have to eat. Or at least we should eat every day. Our spiritual life is a lot like our physical body. It needs to eat, and it should eat every day. Don't neglect God's word. The word used for feed in this lesson also has the idea of gnawing at a bone. You know how a dog just keeps gnawing at a bone just to get any little morsel left, any little bit of flavor left? That's the way we're told to feed on God's word. We want every little bit out of it that we can possibly get. In 1 John, John writes, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. There are two ways to, quote, eat of Christ. We seek him in prayer and we seek him in worship. Mary sat at his feet to listen to what he had to say. David played his harps in the hills of Bethlehem in worship. And we're also called to meditate on God's word. And what does it mean to meditate? And I'm not talking about the Eastern religion idea. Eastern religion's idea of meditate is where you empty your brain and of all thoughts until there's nothing there. Boy, you empty your brain of all thoughts. That makes you eligible for Congress, doesn't it? Anyway, this is not the type of meditating I'm talking about. Christian meditating is filling our heads with something, filling our heads with Scripture. Psalm 119, by the way, one of the longest psalm in the Bible. Oh, how I love your law. I meditated all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. Meditate is used 21 different times in the Bible. Psalm 77 says, I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. While I meditated, the fire burned. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate upon these things, give yourself wholly to them. The word of God should be like a precious jewel. You know, you go to a jewelry store and you look at a diamond. They always get black velvet out because that way the light goes off the diamond and it's brighter and you can see the beauty of it. All right? But you take the diamond and you turn it around. You look at it from all different angles. That's the way it should be with God's word. We look at it from many different angles. How does this apply to me today? Excuse me. By the way, meditation also has some similarity to digestion. You know, digesting your food does not begin in your stomach. Do you know where it begins? In your mouth. That's where digestion first begins. Your body then breaks it down into the raw materials and makes it into new substances which the body can use. Goats, sheep, and cows have four stomachs. That is amazing how God designs animals. But once they chew the food up and swallow it, they can bring it back up into their mouth and continue to chew it. That's what we should be doing with God's word. It should constantly be inside of us, and it's constantly coming to mind. What does it mean? How do I apply this? Excuse me. Going back to the idea of what the cows do, they bring it back up to chew it. When we're meditating on God's word, we let the Holy Spirit do his work, reminding us of the meaning of God's word. Psalm 119, verse 30 says, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. There's a story of a very, very wealthy businessman, and he had a son. And his son and he didn't always see eye to eye. But the father would, on a yearly basis, would give his son a check for a sizable amount so that the son could live quite comfortably. But he found out his son just showed up at the house, picked up the check, walked out, hardly said a word to him. So finally, the father decided he was going to do something different. He didn't like the relationship he was having with his son. So instead of giving him one lump sum, when he came, he only gave him a month's supply. And the son says, well, father, what's the deal? Why once a month? The father says, well, now you're going to have to come every month to get your daily food. Son said he didn't really like this, but he would do it because, well, the old man had the money and the son wanted it. But the son figured out as the months went by, he was talking to his father, their relationship started to grow. It started to get better. The more time they spent together, the deeper the relationship grew, until the point where the son realized he actually loved his father. His father never stopped loving him, but he started to love his father. The connections to our life as Christians, I hope, is clear. We depend on God for our daily bread. He takes care of us on a daily basis so that we do not just assume something of Him. We don't take advantage of Him. There's another term I'm looking for and I can't think of it. We don't take Him for granted. That's it. We don't take Him for granted. The gift that He gives to keep us to live comfortably is eternal life. But He says, don't give up that gift by not coming to Him. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen. And please rise and we confess our faith together with the words of the Nicene Creed.